G'day friends and welcome back to Happy Days. This is your pal Jesse Drachman on the microphone, welcoming each and every single one of you back for another awesome episode. And a huge thank you to everyone that tunes in and checks the show out every week. It's been great. The response has been awesome. Thanks to all the guests that have been on this show so far, and a huge thanks to each and every single one of you that have subscribed and enjoyed this show and have even gone the extra mile, dare I say, and told your friends about it. You guys rock. Now, it's been great. I have just had the absolute best time talking to some really fascinating people, and the feedback I've gotten from you guys and gals has been awesome about the guests that I've been talking to. This week's episode's a killer episode, man. I get to talk to one of my dearest friends from a long time. His name is Dennis. He's an amazing human being, and he is doing great things. He's about to start a very, very cool ghost hunting series called Shadow Prowlers, and it's amazing. I'm so proud of him, and he's just kicking goals, man. He really is, and I really hope that all of you guys can jump along for the ride. That'd be awesome. And with this episode, we talk in depth about what he does with his lifelong friends. There's two of them, and they've been spending quite some time and have spent considerable amounts of money, as you'll soon hear, investing in equipment and investigating various haunted places throughout America. And even overseas in Japan, where Dennis also lives. Shadow Prowlers is, at time of this recording, hopefully the website should be up and running, but we'll keep you posted and I'll give you an update. We hope to do a follow-up episode soon with Dennis. There were some really great ideas discussed, and just hit the subscribe button so you can keep updated with everything that's coming up. This episode's a great one because we've been brothers for a long time. We've shared many good moments over in the US and over here and in Japan. And it's just great to talk to him about something that he's so deeply passionate about. And I'm hoping that each and every single one of you can be inspired and motivated by Dennis's story. He's got a hell of a life story, but we just focus on discussing his passion, which is ghost hunting. And it's an extraordinary story, and some of the tales will blow your mind. Even for you out there that are feeling skeptical, I think listening to Dennis's stories might change your perspective. He's one of the most honest men I know in my life. He is an ex-military man, was in special forces, served his country. He's a CEO of a very successful company and businesses around the world. So I don't think lying is in his vocabulary, if that makes sense. So when he first told me about his encounters with the other side, I gotta say, I was anything but skeptical, because I too believe in supernatural forces. I believe in manifestation, I believe in energies, the universal pull, fate, all that sort of thing. I'm a big believer of all that stuff, whilst being somewhat of an atheist of sorts as well, yes. But with this chat with Dennis, there's very, very good insights and valid points that he brings up about keeping an open mind, and also how very real ghosts can be. And it doesn't necessarily mean seeing an apparition in a white sheet. We're talking a sensation, a feeling, a change of emotions, change of temperature. There are various factors, and I'll go one step further and say I've actually heard some of the recordings from his sessions, and I can tell you they sent chills down my spine. So, without further ado, I'd love each and every single one of you to hit that subscribe button for me. And if you love listening to Happy Days, I really appreciate the support. Don't forget, every Saturday also, we have the new show, Rad, with my good buddy, Jake Reedy. We talk all things pop culture, just nerdy good fun between two creative minds, man. It's good fun. And you can find it all here on the Anchor Network. But without further ado, I'd love you guys to check this episode out. This is fun. Dennis talks at length about his passion with ghost hunting, with his friends, with Shadow Prowlers, which will be, as I said, going public very soon. We even talk a little about one of his very, very close friends, who's also a friend of mine, Chris Fain, former member of Slipknot. So we talk a little bit about him as well. But it's all love, and it's a happy, cool story. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed getting this one down. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Dennis Olsen of Shadow Prowlers here on the Happy Days Network. Proudly brought to you by Freak Productions. That's www.freekproductions.com. Enjoy.
Yes.
Hey, Jesse. Can you hear me good?
Yes, sir. It's great to hear your voice, mate.
You too.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
I'm a long way away from you.
I know. Just a short swim over the pond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mate, thanks so much for jumping on here and sharing your happy days with me. This is more than a treat. This is an absolute honor.
No, it's just, I was thinking earlier, man, like how many years we've been friends. We're going on. We're going on some time.
Yeah, man. It's been a minute or two. So, I love this because we get to talk about something that you're very passionate about. So I'm really excited to dive into this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't ask for this. It just happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, man, dude, here on the Happy Days, this is an absolute thrill to speak to one of my best and dearest friends, Dennis Olsen. Founder, I believe, of the Shadow Prowlers.
Yes.
Yeah, man. So for those going, what the hell are these guys talking about? What we're talking about is ghost hunting. We're talking to Dennis about this incredible existential activity of sorts, where you and your compatriots go hunting ghosts in some of the most haunted places across America, right?
Yes, yeah, we've been to some crazy places.
So but... you were saying that you didn't ask for this, it found you. Can you extrapolate on that and sort of expand on where that mindset is?
Well, you know, it started about 9 years ago. You know, my whole life I do believe I've always believed there was an afterlife, or hoped that there was, and that all got shoved forward when I came face to face with a spirit, which happened to be in my house, and that's where it all started. I built the house 22 years ago, so it's not like I moved in somewhere where that could have been haunted. What happened is I have this spot which I'm at right now at my kitchen bar, and you know how you get that feeling when somebody's looking at you?
Yeah.
And there's three doors to my right, and I would get that feeling and look over there, and through the little hallway there I would see a little girl in a white dress. Whoa. And as soon as I, would look, she would take off to the left, like she would bolt out of the room. And, you know, at first, you know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And this was happening almost on a daily basis. Of course, I couldn't tell anybody about it because they're all going to think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept seeing her clear as day. About 6 months later or so, my oldest brother was over here. I think it was New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve or something. We were sitting at the bar, drinking beer, and we're getting pretty fucked up. But he was facing me, which means he was looking at where I've been seeing the girl. And his eyes got really big and looked like he's seen a ghost. So I said, what's going on? He's like, Dennis, like somebody's in this house. And I said, no, there's nobody here. It's just you and me. He's like, no, somebody just walked by that door. And I said, what it looked like. I said, I was setting him up. He goes, man, it was a girl in a white dress.
And, that's insane, man.
Seen it, and I was like, bro, I've been seeing that for 6 months. I couldn't tell anybody. Needless to say, he hasn't been back here.
well, you know, I wonder why. But, and I'm sure it's not for lack of love of his brother, but man, wow, that's heavy.
So that's where it started. And you kind of go down the rabbit hole of why is it here?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know, because like, you know, people talk about things that they see, and I've had my share of afterlife experiences myself. So, you know, I'm with you, man. I do believe in this phenomenon of sorts. For me, it's something as simple as that sensation of feeling something over your shoulder and looking behind and there's nothing there, or you see something out the corner of your eye. But for you, it's the next level. You've actually seen like an almost physical apparition.
Yes.
That's, yeah. And I know like you mentioned, we've known each other a long time, and I know you as anything but a guy that tells a tall tale. So this
absolutely.
Yeah, man. And yeah, you know, add to that the fact that you've served your country and everything like that. I mean, yeah, like you're as honest as they come, my brother. And this is intense, man. But you know, from here, like, where did this, you talk about this rabbit hole, what spawned the idea in your mind of pursuing this on a more active level of engaging with them?
And that rabbit hole continues. I don't think it's ever going to end. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's looking for answers.
Yeah.
And we do travel. We've been to some crazy places, but we always go in with, you know, with the intention of getting answers, but we always leave with more questions than when we went in.
And, yeah, right.
First of all, like trying to dial this one down, I was thinking, you know, where did this come from? So I started doing a lot of research and studying, and found out that there's different kinds of hauntings, actually. There's land-based hauntings. There's, it could be a physical building or an old hospital or insane asylum or so forth, where a lot of bad things happened. There's also, you've heard of physical attachments, which could be a doll, for example, or something like that. So I started thinking back. Once I started researching, when I grew up, I grew up on a farm, and my grandmother's farm was not too far away. And I spent a lot of my childhood with her. She was born in Belgium, grew up there. But she had this wooden ship, and after, I saw it my whole childhood. After she passed, it went to my father, and he knew that that was special to me, and he gave it to me. And funny story is, I brought that ship here about 9 years ago, about the same time this girl started showing up. My grandmother, basically, there was a family that was trying to burn the ship. She traded food for it, which makes me now makes me think, why were they trying to burn it?
Yeah.
It's a Knights Templar. They had a big, that was God's human militia back in the day. That's the theory there with that. They were protecting religion. The artwork on the sails, it's their logo, it's everything. Who this little girl is, I don't know. I know the ship is at least 150 years old, maybe 200. So who knows? Even since then, we've done multiple digital recordings in the house. And more recently, we're picking up Scandinavian language.
Oh, wow.
Coming across the recorders, which, you know, Belgium is over there. Yeah. And you just can't, I mean, why would you get Scandinavian voices coming through a recorder? That's where it all started. And then it was like, okay, well, let me go somewhere else and try to do a hunt. And I have two childhood friends. They're best friends. I've known them since I was 4 years old. They actually grew up very close to me. They both have had experiences in their life. So we talked, and we basically did a hunt. Lots and lots of activity at that place. I actually got attacked that night down in the basement of this. It's an insane asylum here in Iowa. Orbs, my daughter's phone got taken over. It took over her texts and was just writing stuff on the phone. And we walked away from that one going, holy shit, this is amazing. And we didn't have many toys at that time to, recorders or cameras or things like anything sophisticated. We were pretty simple.
Yeah.
And we just got excited. And so we started researching equipment, which we still do, and we're adding to our collection, which has gotten quite large at this point. And we've just dialed in and actively doing this, and it's become a passion. It's fun until it's not fun. I've had a lot of things happen to me personally as well.
That's incredible, man. Like, I mean, there's so many questions from that little story I want to ask, but like, you know, when you talk about being attacked, are you talking like physically attacked, like scratches on the arms, that sort of thing? Or do you feel like a chill sensation in your body or like a feeling?
It's a good question. I seem to be the one guy on the team that's a little more sensitive.
I've seen that firsthand.
I can hear things sometimes that usually it takes a digital recorder to pick up. But what I mean by I've been burned, I've been bitten.
Wow.
I've been pushed. I've been scratched. It's a small out of 100%, it's maybe 2%.
Yeah.
But it also can be tingling sensations as well. Yeah. They have to pull a lot of energy. So you hear people, their phones they'll watch their battery just drain in front of their eyes.
Which, I've heard about that. Yep.
Which we've had happen. Lights flickering, different things like that. That's where they're trying to pull energy so they can manifest. If they're able to do so, that's when you can really interact. And it's not always physical. A lot of times it's just subtle things. What I love the most are the recordings that we get where you're actually hearing them talk and it's clear.
That, That would be fascinating.
Yeah, it's a different, what would you call it? They're speaking on a different plane.
Yeah, because you sent me a recording once, and I remember listening to it just going, whoa, this is intense. Like, you know, like I'm a pretty open-minded person, but listening to that recording, I had chills. I was like, wow, this is intense.
Yeah, wait till I see you next time. We've got catalogs, and we document everything. We've got video, photos, EVP recordings, pictures of the physical attacks when they happen.
Yeah.
But you can't make that up. It's just...
No, definitely not.
You know, people are... A lot of times, like, why are you doing this? And I always ask, like, do you believe in the afterlife? And most everybody says, yes, of course. Well, all I'm trying to do here is document, and that's what we're doing. They want nothing to do with it. That's okay. Mm. I just look at it like, you know what? These entities were human at one time. And for some reason, they're stuck in these places or choose not to leave, for example. But they were all human.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it. It's like you and I talking.
Yeah.
But it's a different, you know, they're not physical anymore. So.
Yeah, I kind of roll with the theory of like, you know, there's someplace. Look, I'm not going to get into this deep about this heaven hell thing, but you know, I feel like these are potentially souls trapped in, you know, in limbo of sorts, maybe, or they have unresolved issues that can't be left, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I sort of look at it. So, it's I think it's great that people like yourself and your team are actively and passionately pursuing this and looking for those answers.
And it's interesting. There's a lot of theories about what you just said. You know, you hear of, you know, I've always been a believer in God, and I believe in Satan, the devil as well. I think there are two, but that's my opinion. Everybody has one.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, that's a whole nother can of worms you can go down into. When you hear of demonic places, for example, you know, it's said that God banned Satan from ever stepping foot on the planet Earth. That was the deal. And, but you hear of the Ouija boards or spirit boxes or people getting possessed or something coming through a Ouija board, for example, that's their way. My theory is that is their way to find a crack to where they can get into our world.
Yeah.
On the demonic side.
Yeah.
The other side, there's a lot of theories with that as well, is maybe they went to purgatory or got into purgatory and they decided not to pass. What's interesting is most of what we encounter friendly, they're, you know, they're just there.
Yeah.
But if you go into places where, say, murder or rape or torture or anything of those sorts have happened, there's a lot of, you know, even in an insane asylum, those people, even though they're insane, that doesn't make them bad people. They're just stuck there. And a lot of times, with all that negative energy, you'll find a darker force will move in there and try to control the situation. It's just, who knows, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
It's all theory at this point. These are just my thoughts as well.
But I guess your thoughts will grow and grow the more investigations that you and your team go on. Which I, you know, again, I think it's fantastic. And you've been to some incredible places. Like you've been to, as you mentioned, an insane asylum. You've also been to some haunted hotels, if I'm correct.
Done a few hotels. Yes.
What about the Queen Mary, you know, like that's one of the more popular spoken sort of places that I know of. They talk about that room that up until recent years had been closed off. Do you, you know, what's your thoughts on things like that? Do you think that that's just a publicity stunt to get people, you know, visiting, or do you think there's some truth behind things like that?
That's a good question. I think with some places, there's a bit of that. We've done places that are advertised as haunted, and we actually really do our homework on places before we go in, unless if there's a history there.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's not.
Mm.
Queen Mary, I have not done. It's on my list.
Yeah.
But if you look historically back on that ship, the word haunted always pops up. But I have done hotels that advertise as haunted and there was nothing there. Or maybe there wasn't nothing that particular night. I mean, we've done the same places multiple times.
Mm.
And the evidence or anything that happens is different every single time. Sometimes we think we got skunked. But then we get home in the next couple of days, we're going through, you know, video footage or photos or our digital recorders, and it's unbelievable. So sometimes it's not always physical, but I would love to give the Queen Mary a shot.
It's pretty popular, man. Like, I mean, they've taken a thing and just run with it, and you know, it's very popular. But I mean, you've been to some places that are not spoken of, like,
yes.
As people don't know, only people like myself know, but you also part-time live in Japan as well with your business. But you've been to some places like Japan as well that are haunted as hell.
Oh, yes. We did probably the place that scared me the most out of all I've done is Inunaki Tunnel. Inunaki is Japanese. It basically says howling dog. And there's been murder up there. Like we were there for a couple hours on a Friday night because we had to work the next day. I took a couple staff members, but that one got me. One really got me. I'm looking forward to going back and doing a proper hunt.
I want to do it with you, man.
But that scared the shit out of me. I've never been to a place like that prior or since that got me like that one did. So I'm really, and it came after me too. So I'm looking forward to doing it, but kind of not.
Yeah. So. I looked it up when you told me about it, and I mean, there's so much dark history behind it, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, like, when people talk of haunted Japan, you know, most people commonly talk of Suicide Forest.
Yeah.
Which is one I'd love to visit. But that tunnel is just something else, man.
It is. And it's, I've been to Suicide Forest. It's Aokigahara is the name of it. It's at the base of Mount Fuji. Yeah. It's massive. But the problem in there is compasses don't work, cell phones don't work. I mean, you could get lost, and it's huge. But you can't deny that many suicides in that place. I'm not saying they're caused by spirits. People intentionally go there to do that. But there's a lot of negative energy floating around there. Has to be. You hear, even here in America, like, you know, the Civil War. Another place we were talking about the other night, we had a get together, is Gettysburg.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is thousands of acres up, you know, towards the East Coast there. And supposedly that is really, there's a lot there too. So we don't, you know, some people go to cemeteries. I mean, honestly, I've never gotten anything. I think those people passed over. They don't hang around there, it seems. Not to say that there aren't cemeteries that have a lot of action, but we tend to go where there's been a lot of bad things happen in the past. And that's gotcha. That's where you, but it's fun. It's addicting. That's for sure.
Yeah. So with Shadow Prowlers, I'd love to hear more about this. Is it going to be, you mentioned about you've got a website that's about to go live. Are you looking at this like a web series or a TV series of sorts, or
yeah? Well, there's, didn't mean to cut you off.
No. You're expanding on it. So yeah.
It hasn't gone live yet. It's shadowprowlers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Building a website. It's going to be different links in there for the team and our history. And we're going to start putting our actual hunts. We're going through all that. And so each hunt will be unique. It will put together all the evidence so people can click on those links and locations and see and hear what we've seen in here that particular night, for example. YouTube, we're looking at that with some connections I have that have Hollywood connections. That's been brought up or offered.
Yeah.
Not that we would go down that road. I've seen a lot of those shows, and of course they do really well and people really like them, but we've done a lot of the same places they've done, and we've got 50 or 100 times more evidence than they could ever get, or that they put on TV.
I guess the difference, sorry to cut you off there, but I guess the difference of what you're trying to achieve versus what they're trying to achieve is not some sort of cheap publicity, or, you know, I'm not trying to cheapen what they're doing, but I guess you want to maintain an air of authenticity to what you're trying to do without all the glamorous, glitz and glamour of what they tend to sugarcoat these things with.
Yes. And it's, you know, our team is three of us that are the core. We always invite one or two more people to join. And five is probably the max number we like to go in with, because
I'm just out of bit of,
they'll pick up a mouse fart. So when you have noise contamination, they pick that up as well. So it really distorts evidence. So we like to roll small, but you know, these TV crews, they're rolling in with, you know, they have a pretty, and cameras, and they have to make a show whether something happens or not, which I've seen a lot. That's how we like to do it.
I guess, you know, putting it out there on the air, like, you know, one angle that I don't think others do that I think you would do really well is because, you know, a well-known fact of, you know, for friends close to you that know about you, is that, you know, you're a passionate music lover and you love heavy metal. So I would sort of put together and go, well, it'd probably make sense for you to have the odd occasional guest musician on your program and, you know,
absolutely,
attending your haunts. Like, I think it'd be, it would extra special to the experience, given that majority of musicians and that are kind of very privy to believing it.
Yes. Yep. And yep, you're gonna be one of them, I hope. Soon.
I hope so, man. What about Chris?
Chris?
Has he expressed interest in being involved?
Hey, Chris, we're talking about Chris Fain from Slipknot. I just talked to him. I just talked to him today, and he's back in Iowa for a couple of days, so I'm going to go over and see him tomorrow. He knows about it. In the beginning, he was like, you know, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Not that he's closed-minded. Some people just don't want to put themselves in it, you know. They'd rather hear.
Especially when he hears that your mate's getting attacked by ghosts and stuff. That doesn't sound like a fun night out.
Well, yeah, but he's coming around. I think I can get him to go.
I reckon he should.
And he's one of the thing about our team too. These two brothers. They're the two of the funniest guys I've ever met. And
yeah,
it's always half of our hunts is just rolling on the ground laughing.
And, that's awesome.
And Chris is also very funny too. So I think it would be great. I can't wait to get you.
Yeah, man, it'll be sick.
So yeah, I appreciate that. Definitely yeah, thinking about that, because that expands audience as well. People are curious what's going
well,
on.
Well, I mean, you know, I know for a fact that I have a few like-minded friends in industry that would, you know, that are over your way that would do that. I mean, you know, you've met and spoken with guys like Chris Motionless from Motionless and White and those sort of guys. I think they'd be a wonderful addition to what you're doing. And it's not so much to get instant popularity for the show. I just think it's, I don't know, like peas in a pod, you know, it makes sense. And
it does. It does. Like-minded people.
And, yeah, exactly.
And so, us, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. No, please go ahead.
Mean, yeah. What with us metalheads, we're all a little bit off.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, I'm not in a band. I don't have any musical talent, but it doesn't mean I'm not as twisted as somebody that is, because I am. But then that's why we get along so well.
Exactly,
but,
man.
But I think to be in your industry or with music, or you're always pushing the envelope. You always got to be outside the norm, and that's what pushes music forward as well. So yeah, it's all in the same basket. It's just I'm going this route instead of, you know, playing a bass, which I wish I could do, you know.
Hey, it's never too late. It's never too late to learn new thing, mate. So I'm sure you can. With what you do with now as you've gone on from, as you said, from humble beginnings of just three mates going into haunts with, you know, probably I'm guessing as little as a microphone and recording equipment. I've seen your equipment firsthand, some of it anyway. You've got some amazing technology at your disposal. Any highlights there you want to talk about with what you've obtained and what they do and how they help?
Yeah, we've spent thousands, probably us combined, and we're always adding to it.
Yeah.
It's just the night vision cameras have come a long way. The recorders, is we're using studio grade recorders. They're handheld, but they're studio grade. There's just a lot of, one of the simplest ones we use are these damn cat, they're plastic balls. You push a button and when they vibrate.
I remember that. Yes.
They're cat toys. You can buy them on Amazon and they just don't go off by themselves. And we use those actually as a baseline. And when they start popping off, then we get out the other equipment and start going. But probably the newest addition that I'm most excited about, it's called a power plant. So we found a guy. He's also a paranormal investigator. He's going to actually come here in April and hunt with us. We got three big hunts, the Sally House, Malvern Manor, and Edinburgh Manor. We're doing it 3 out of 4 nights. We'll be hunting those.
That's exciting.
He developed this. It's a plastic box. It's got crystals inside, and there's two power packs, one on each side of and it just sends tremendous. You flip them on, and when you're setting up, you basically just tell the spirits, like, because instead of draining batteries or lights or whatever, that's what these boxes are for. And you turn them on, and you tell them, come use this, get all the energy you want. And they really work. We started with one, now we have 4. And we've actually, you know, we filmed rooms at night. It's pitch black. You can see with the cameras though.
Yeah.
And we'll flip that on and instantly there'll be hundreds or if not thousands of orbs will start flying around.
Wow.
So we love those because the more power you got running through, the more they can suck that up and manifest, which is what we want them to do. So, you know, there's theories on dowsing rods. We're not big on those, but my girlfriend and I, we did a hunt last month in Texas, and I didn't have any equipment. It was just by chance. I knew about this old bed and breakfast that used to be a brothel in the cowboy and Indian days, and has had 8 rooms, and we had the whole place to ourselves. And I did get recordings on my phone. A girl like saying like, "Hey, come in here now." It was like one of the girls that probably, you know, was one of the girls that worked in the brothel.
I don't know.
My girlfriend was using dowsing rods that were there, and she got them working, and she doesn't know anything. She's never hunted in her life, but supposedly there was a little girl that died in that place, and that seemed to be the one that she was communicating with. And she asked her to give her a hug, and the dowsing rods basically looked like they were giving her a hug. They just spun around. Like, equipment wise is always evolving, but it's fun. Some of it doesn't work, but that's fine. But it's hitting, you know, you just keep experimenting.
That's so cool. So cool. So like, you know, doing all this, you know, do you find yourself in the situations where, you know, you talk about this equipment that you've got and you spent thousands of dollars on it? Do you find sometimes you're in situations where you think, less is more? I don't really need all this today. I can just kind of do this with the bare minimum.
I have that with the team sometimes, that I want to back off, because we do set up static cameras as well, which are stationary that can see in the dark, and they're hooked to a monitor. I never sit at the monitor. I'm there to hunt. I don't want to sit and watch somebody else hunt. They're big on that. Not sitting at the monitor. They love hunting too, but always having that system running. I'm not in full agreement, but that said, that system has picked up things that we probably wouldn't have known. But yes, I like to go. I just grab some things and I just take off. But that said, I mean, you could go either way. Mm-hmm. If they're active, they're active.
And do you find yourself, sorry to interrupt, but do you find yourself like, I've watched a few of these programs, like even on YouTube, some of the more amateur, well, you know, not so slick productions. Some of these people, they try and talk to the ghosts or apparitions. Are you one of those teams yourselves? Like, do you try to openly communicate with the other side?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That is the goal. If we can get them talking, I mean, we've had them laugh at our farts.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
We've had them tell us to quiet down. We've heard screams. We've heard, I mean, it's like they're there. We've had them like say, "Come on in." Amazing. It's amazing.
See, even flatulence, man, brings people together. Not only people together, but the afterlife together. I love that. That's friggin' dope.
It was funny. I mean,
it'd be even funnier if they joined in on the action and popped one off as well. That'd be right. Yes, right.
I haven't heard any yet, but
can you imagine? No. Like you suddenly hear this. And then you smell.
It wouldn't surprise me, but yes, that would make my day.
Man, that would be the coolest.
Well, we've also heard like cats and dogs.
Right.
You know?
That's interesting.
There's obviously no cats and dogs in there, but you'll hear them sometimes. I guess we all go to wherever it is we're going to go.
Yeah, this is it. So, you know, doing all this experience, I mean, has this like really opened your train of thought with, you know, a lot of people today, they talk about manifestations, energies, that sort of thing. Are you finding yourself sort of more in tune with those kind of things as well?
I am. I am very sensitive to that. Most of us are that actually do this. And if they're not in the beginning, they become sensitive. One of the brothers, he started a little bit after me and the other brother, and he started out, wasn't getting much, but as he, you know, the more experience he gets, like he's the one now that is really getting a lot of action. So I think you become that. It's because it's very subtle, and you got to pay attention. But for me, that whole thing, it makes me reflect on life itself. And I have to say, like, I've never been more comfortable with the notion that maybe I'm going to pass tomorrow.
Yeah.
A lot of people are scared of that or don't want to think about it. I've become very comfortable just because I know that this isn't the end. Now, granted, there's no cold beer over there, probably no sex. I don't know, but I'm hoping there's some fun activities, but
yeah, well, you know, I mean, you could find yourself in the torture of a Maroon 5 concert that never ends.
Oh my God, I knew you were gonna bring that up.
It's a personal joke between friends, but I'm sorry, yeah. I can get a rise out of you, mate. That's awesome.
Yeah. You gotta get, you know, got a Woody for Adam. No, I don't, but
well, look, I don't want to argue with you, man. The love is real, man. But look, that's fine. I mean, conversation ongoing for that one. But
get you back for that.
I know you will. I know. But man, like, I guess you know, you said you've talked about these experiences with a few people before. I mean, is there a definitive experience that sits at the forefront of your mind that really solidifies, and you've already touched on, you know, the experiences that inspired you, but is there an experience that just rocked you to the core completely? And I know I've seen you firsthand react to something when we were together in LA, but is there an experience on one of your haunts that just really just left you spooked?
Yes, there was a couple times. The experience at the tunnel in Japan, supposedly there was a murder there of a 20-year-old kid back in the day, and they took him up there, they set him on fire, and he actually got away and then went up into they're trying to carjack him, actually, ended up kidnapping him, but he got away and went up into the woods, and then they talked him back down, saying that they weren't going to do anything more, but they ended up killing him there. So I was taking, if you turn your phones on to live photo, it'll give you a second or two of video footage along with sound. And I was taking some photos there. About the third or fourth photo, this black mass pops up right in front of me. And I have it on my phone, and it looks like about a 20-year-old kid in a hoodie.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that just doesn't happen. Probably another time when we were in the basement of this insane asylum, I heard footsteps behind me. There were two guys in front of me in this room. The footsteps I heard were not human, and it came up, and it hissed like really loud in my ear. I heard it, scared the shit out of me. I spun around. They were like, "We've never seen you move that fast." They didn't hear it. Fortunately, though, I was running my recorder, and lo and behold, that's exactly what I heard.
Wow.
And I know that that's a bad guy. Demonic wise, the Sally House is known for that. We've done it twice. That's where you got to be careful. Those are, when you get into that genre, you're really putting yourself out there. So we're not afraid of it, but we tend to go where the friendlier ones are. Although I would like to see a place like that come alive, but also makes you worry about the aftermath of that as well. If it follows you home or, you know, they move. I mean, they can move. The guy on the East Coast, he's dealing with a demon in his house. The demon has told him that he's from the Sally House. Sally House is in Kansas. This guy lives in Massachusetts. This guy has never been to the Sally House, but the demon in his house is saying he's from the Sally House. So it's going to be interesting when he comes in April, when we take him down to the Sally House to see what the hell's going on. And it's really going after him. It's saying it's going to kill him and it's going to kill his family. And he's actually talking to one of the more famous priests in the country that actually some of the TV shows use to do an exorcism of the house. So you really gotta like think clearly and act cautiously.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You know, so yeah.
That's fascinating, man. So Shadow Prowl is looking to go live this year, maybe?
Oh yeah, we should be up and running. The basic site should be up within a couple months.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And we'll be adding to it quickly, and it's going to expand nicely. It's going to be fun. So.
Okay, cool. So maybe we can put a link in the description box, and when it's live, happy days. You know, we're on.
That would be great, and appreciate.
Yeah.
The more audience we get, the more we're expanding the
absolutely
the thinking process with this whole thing. So
well, you know, I think there's a big market, and it's not for anything more than just curiosity, and like you say, the same goal that you're trying to achieve, which is finding answers. You know, like, we're all not looking for ghosts in the traditional sense of, you know, what we see in the movie, like, but we're looking for answers to, you know, what if, what is, all that sort of thing. And
I mean, it's a real thing, my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say what I want to say. I mean, it's just, I just know. And it's just based on all the things that have happened. It's real. Nobody can tell me anything else. But it's cool.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, it's after this life. So I don't know. It's, yeah. It gets you. Like, it just drives us. We just get hungry to do this more and more. So
I like that. That pretty much kind of answers what I was going to lead up and close with as a question. Like, you know, the kind of emotion you get going into these haunts, is it like an adrenaline rush? Cause you're a bit of an adrenaline man yourself. I mean, do you get a big rush from it?
Oh, when it starts popping off and you're,
sorry, we've just lost audio there. Hello? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So when it pops off.
Yeah, when it pops off, it's when you're in a dark basement, you can't see 1 foot in front of you, and you know that it's about ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of adrenaline, but it's also, there's a bit of fear factor in there as well. I don't know. It's it isn't a rush. And, you know, it can be boring sometimes. You know, you can go hours and nothing, and then all of a sudden it'll pop off. So every situation is different. Every day that we do it is different. But
I guess the way you guys do it, it's going with low expectations, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, yes. And, yeah, I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't fearful sometimes. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, but it's the unknown.
Yeah.
And that's what we're investigating. And it's also fun too, you know, so.
I'm looking forward to these adventures, my friend. I think it's fantastic. I really do, man. I'm so proud of you doing this.
I miss you, man. And I can't wait can't wait to get over here. And
yeah,
I can't wait to come to Australia, because I know there's a lot there. So
there is, man. There is a hell of a lot.
Yeah, every country. Every country's, I mean, it's they're everywhere. They're right around you right now and me. But yeah,
it's we'll, this wonderful weird world we live in, my friend.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Not lately.
No, not lately, but it's there waiting for us when things return to some form of normal.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But best part is I'll get to see you and your wife.
Damn straight, man. Damn straight. Bro, Dennis, thank you so much for your time, man. It's been an absolute treat talking to you. And
thank you, Jess.
Man, all the best to the Shadow Prowlers team and my love to Chris when you catch up with him. And
tell him tomorrow.
Yeah, man. And high five to the boys. And yeah, we'll keep everyone updated. And hopefully we can do this again soon when you go live.
Thanks, Jesse, for the opportunity. I love talking about this stuff. And man, I appreciate you. So
hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah.
And good luck with everything that you're doing.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Dennis. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, have a good day, man.
You too, man. Peace. All right,
later.
And that was my awesome chat with Dennis Olsen of Shadow Prowlers. Stay tuned. I'll post some updates on the Shadow Prowlers movements on the Freak Productions website. We'll probably hopefully do a follow-up interview with Dennis and maybe even perhaps his compatriots on the show at a later date once Shadow Prowlers is up and running. I think it's an awesome concept. The ideas that we discussed on the air were awesome as well. I think so anyway. It just seems appropriate. And I love the concept of bringing the supernatural and heavy metal together as one in a concept so radical that I think with Dennis, it's in great hands. The show was proudly brought to you by my very own company, Freak Productions. If you want to support the cause, you can gift on there, or you can go purchase one of my many books that are on there. I have 4 novels and as well as a comic book series, Freakenstein, with more coming very, very soon. Just go to www.freekproductions.com. Leave a bit of love, buy a book or a sticker or whatever on there and support the dream. I recycle every week and my recycling money commissions artists in third world countries who are extremely talented and not as privileged as us. And they help me produce some magical pieces of work. So get behind and support the cause if you can. And like I said, every Saturday morning from 8 a.m., you can stream on all platforms my new show, Rad, with Jake Reedy, fellow crazy writer extraordinaire. And we discuss all things pop culture, pretty much the best of the 80s and the 90s. So it's good fun. But look, I hope you enjoy the show as much as I enjoyed doing it. And show some love. Tell your friends about us. You know the drill. Do everything you can to support, even if it's a little thing. It means a lot and it never goes unnoticed. Till next time, I look forward to bringing you another episode. My name's Jesse. You've been amazing. Till then, stay happy and keep it freaky.